Novelist Emma Richler has returned with her first novel in over a decade. It's called Be My Wolf, published by Knopf Canada. It's the story of Rachel and her adopted brother, Zach, who, much to the, well, you can imagine, consternation of their father, Lev, have taken up as lovers. It's a novel of stories, fairy tales, boxing, and a whole lot more. It's kind of, if I were to, someone was asking me the other day how to describe this. I said it was a combination of Dickens with a Wes Anderson film or Arrested Development. And I hope she's not offended by that description. And Emma Richler joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
I've never written a novel. I can only assume that it does take a fair bit out of you. But 11 or 12 years on one project seems to be a mammoth undertaking. How take us through the genesis of this book.
Yeah, well, it was a bloody complicated book to go about. It started with a dream. I thought I was, when I finished the last book many moons ago, I had this idea that there was something largely that I thought I was going to be writing. And then this boxer, this pugilist from the early 1800s, kept appearing to me in dreams, boom, in attitude like that. And he kept, night after night, waking me up. And sometimes I'd wake up with a gasp. And I kept sort of shoving this image away, thinking, you've got nothing to do with this book that
wow.
I think I'm writing.
Yeah.
And then I realized, because in some ways you can be quite stupid as a writer, and very stubborn. I thought, no, I don't know what this is. And then I had to trust myself and realize that there was something else that was looming that I had to tackle. I also kept going to this exhibition in London, which actually Rachel sees in the book, London 1753 at the British Museum. And they had borrowed some items from the Foundling Museum, which was being restored at the time, and they had these foundling tokens. And I kept going to this cabinet. There was nobody else at this exhibition, I think, most of the time I was there. All these things. And I was also very obsessed with wolves at the time and was reading about Russia and I was reading about Victorian sewers. And I thought, I'm either losing my mind or there's a reason for this.
Or there's a way this can all come together.
Yeah. So, and I was, you know, fascinated also, and I mean, I have an enduring fascination for family anyway, but the brother-sister relationship. And I was thinking, because I'm terribly jet-lagged. I don't usually have it coming this way, but I'm wide awake from like 2:30 in the morning, three nights in a row. And I was thinking this morning how many brothers and sisters there are in this novel. Felix and Fanny Mendelssohn and Alexander the First and and Jack Broughton, who was a famous champion, and his sister. Obviously, Zach and Rachel, and then the Sam the Russians, his father, the young hapless hussar. So anyway, all these things, it's wild, but it's also very rigorous. All the things come together for a very strong reason, a powerful reason. And so, yes, it took a hell of a long time. And I began to think, oh, am I going to die writing this book, you know? or somebody take this thing away from me. And but finally it finished, it came to an end, and I had to be prized away. And
One of the great things about this book, it occurred to me more and more as I read it, is that family and boxing are great metaphors for each other.
Yeah.
You kind of have to know when to take cover, when to go on the offensive. You're going to get hurt. You could hurt someone.
Yes. Boxing has attracted, I think, has attracted writers for so many, for hundreds of years, really. There's something, it's a dreadful thing. Just the very sound of a punch is terrifying, a real punch. And also the fact that the human head is not designed to take a hit.
It's so true.
It can't, because the brain is not tethered to the its box.
Yes.
So it's an appalling. Yes, no, it's a metaphor for so much. There's a bizarre sense of honor about a match. It has a gladiatorial aspect, but that's not really fair, because gladiators didn't have any choice. You could say about a lot of poor boys that they didn't have much choice either, but it's not so not so true anymore. But then boxing's crap at the moment. So. There aren't any good boxers.
No, no.
But, so we've got the hard copy of your book here. It's done. But is it done in your head? What is it? Must still live there very powerfully.
That's a very good question. I've had a sort of, because it's been 12, I mean, I was a year into it. I was at this writer's retreat in Italy's eccentric baroness, the lady. And I was almost a year into writing this, and it was pre-production for Feed My Dear Dog. So that's how long ago it was.
Wow.
So it was autumn of 2004 because Dogs was coming out in 2005. It's that long I've been writing this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let go, and when I sort of cried when the first copies came to me in London when they were sent to me. I thought, oh, that's it. And I opened it and I thought, where the hell did all this come from?
Wow.
And I also thought, I sighed in a kind of, I mean, it was grief. And I think the characters have been living with me so long that it has taken a long while for them to walk off stage. And I've been stumbling around in a state of sort of heavy, almost mourning or hangover or something.
Yes.
And I know something else is brewing, but Zach and Rachel are still sort of, you know, right. Lev and Tasha and all these, and Jonah the Needle and all these
yes.
people I know so well.
That is just amazing. One of the great things about this is that Rachel and Zach revisit childhood stories that they actually physically made.
Yeah.
And these childhood stories were a backstory for Zach, you know, where he came, a mythical yes. backstory. How, I mean, just listening to you in creating this over, well over a decade, how important is, I guess, to not just fictional characters, but everyone have a backstory, fictional or otherwise. You know what I mean? Like just like your real backstory or one that you have come up with that yes. makes you seem a much different person.
I think Rachel has a sense. And also, I think it's part of this. I mean, I think why the family had to, one of the reasons the family had to be Russian. There is a tremendously powerful sense of folklore and folktale and in a way that certain stories are true from the beginning of time, and we tell the same story all the time, really. So Rachel has a powerful sense when she's trying to understand him and her love for him, and which is part of the reason she invents this Sam the Russian character, is in her effort to understand the tragedy and the depth of her passion. But she feels that she hears voices from a long time ago, that all the voices have a strong sense of legacy. And when she talks about this long line of fighting men, and she's not talking about boxers, but you know, because so I think that yes, I mean it there's a mythical sense of you know, there's a
regret. Yeah. I mean, one of the catch lines in the book that comes up is the phrase "What have I done?" which in a yes. lot of ways reminds me of Arrested Development. I've made a huge mistake. Regret.
Yes.
I mean, it is just dripping in this book.
Yes, I obviously didn't realize until I finished. But yes, there's a lot of this. I mean, what have I done? I've killed him. And there's also, I mean, the very lovely uncle, Nikki, who always tells this funny story. He manages to make light of a lot of potentially tragic or tough moments in the family. And then, of course, he dies. I think everyone misses his presence in a way. But he always talks about that, about the Russian soldier, which is another sort of a tale told over the years. The soldier saying, what's the point of dodging a bullet? Whatever bullet... If the bullet hits you, it was on its way anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the Russians do have a very, and not just the Russians, but particularly the Russians, a strong sense of fatalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gogol wrote about it very powerfully. The Overcoat.
It won't be a decade till your next book, I hope.
Oh, God, no. I'll be under the...
I'm going to run out of time.
I'll be digging the hole for me. And I was, no, I haven't finished yet.
Well, I look forward eagerly to your next book and certainly hope it doesn't take as long. Thank you so much for writing this, and thank you so much for coming in today. And
that's a pleasure. Thank you.
Been speaking to Emma Richler. Her new novel is Be My Wolf, published by Knopf Canada. Run out to your local bookstore and pick up a copy today.